Just in case you didn't recognise it, that's the sound of a good idea. Hello, Anthony Fennell here, and welcome. It's not the first good idea I've ever had, I hasten to add, but here it is. It occurs to me that we've interviewed lots of people on Future Tense over the years about creativity and innovation and how to foster new ideas and new ways of moving us forward, but we've never had someone on the show to talk about how and why we're capable of new ideas in the first place. So my idea was to find someone to do just that. And we have him. His name is Mark Turner, and we'll hear from him shortly. We'll also be joined today by another Mark, Mark Anderson, a science and technology writer who's been following the race to build the world's first extremely large telescope. That's not me being descriptive, that's what it's actually called. Extremely Large Telescope, or ELT for short. There are three rival teams powering ahead hoping to build one, and Mark Anderson is going to give us the details. That's coming up a little later in the show.
This is Future Tense. New ideas, new approaches, new technologies. The edge of change.
Why are human beings so good at imagining? Not only understanding we have a future, but also being able to conceptualise it and express our understanding of it. I'm sure most of us take it for granted, but when you think about it, it's a pretty amazing and unique capacity. Mark Turner thinks he has an answer. He's put forward the idea that it's all about a process of thought called blending. At its most basic, blending simply means the ability to merge two or more thoughts together, and that's something we do all the time. Other animals also do it, of course, but according to Professor Turner, humans take it to another level entirely. He's with the Department of Cognitive Science at Case Western Reserve University in Ohio, in the United States, and he's the author of a book called The Origin of Ideas, Blending, Creativity and the Human Spark, published by Oxford University Press. Well, Professor Mark Turner, welcome to Future Tense.
Thank you for having me, Anthony. I'm a fan of your program.
Now, the hypothesis behind this idea, this concept of blending, is that we're not the only animal capable of blending ideas, but we are the only species capable of blending ideas at a very complex level. That's correct, isn't it?
That's right. As I see it, there was no lightning flash that struck some lone human being and turned him or her into a genius somewhere in the upper Paleolithic. On the contrary, the ability to put together different sorts of ideas seems, as far as anyone can tell, to have been here from early mammals. It's just that this ability to combine, coordinate, blend, was quite rudimentary, it seems, until relatively lately. Blink of an eye in evolutionary time, maybe 50,000 years, maybe 100. It all depends on what the archaeological record actually shows. But human beings took a small extra step, it seems, up the blending ladder in being able to put together things that are in absolute conflict with each other, things that conflict in causality, in agent structure, all sorts of things. And far from this making us crazy, it seems to have been a great conduit to having new ideas. And then human culture really takes off in an extremely quick way.
And blending together ideas that are in conflict. Give us an example of what you mean by that.
Oh, it's very easy. If I say, well, my brother-in-law, the stockbroker who lives in San Francisco, has to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning if he's going to be ready when the market opens Eastern Standard Time, which is 9:30. If I were my brother-in-law, I would be miserable. Now notice I've just put together two radically different things, me and my brother-in-law. We look different, we live in different places, but somehow there's somebody now, this blended person, who's miserable. Now, I'm not miserable, my brother-in-law is not miserable, but there's a new idea, the miserable person inside this blend. There's a real conflict there, and we don't project everything. We couldn't project everything. We're different people. But also notice that in the blend, I am not my own brother-in-law. That's taboo under marriage laws. Already, that kind of ability, which just looks like a simple imaginative counterfactual, is spectacular. spectacularly productive in taking things that don't go together and putting them together and giving you an insight into your life and your brother-in-law's life.
And you would say our ability to do that underpins our creativity, our imagination. It takes our way of thinking above simple utility, doesn't it?
Indeed. Instincts can really do smashingly terrific and impressive things. And there are an awful lot of things that animals do that would look to us like an ambitious creative blend. So, for instance, when species who are predators or prey seem to practice with each other, chasing each other and so on, they call this chase play. Well, that really looks like a blend, doesn't it? Your mother's chasing you, and it's your mother, but it's also the thing that's going to eat you. And it gives you great practice. And that looks so impressive. But the thing is, for all of those species, that talent can never bend to anything different. Whereas the human being, the 18-month-old, the 3-year-old, is instantly making up imaginary dogs and thinking about being somebody else and engaging in this elaborative, imaginative, creative play, all sort of in the backstage of cognition, none of it looking to us particularly creative, but radically different from the kind of blending that other species seem to be able to do.
Do you suggest that our ability to blend at a complex level, and also, as you say, to blend strongly opposing ideas, does that not only allow us to better understand our present condition, but is that also the reason we're able to have a concept of the future?
Concept of the future and of the past. What I would say is that I often lecture on the extraordinarily impressive abilities of other species, and it's a real crowd pleaser, especially when you're talking about dogs to dog owners. And dogs really are impressive because, of course, they have been domesticated by human beings along certain kinds of lines. But these performances by other species are always very local in time, space, causation, and intentionality and agency. Whereas human beings, by contrast, can think across decades, scores of years. You can think about future generations, your great-grandchildren and their trust funds. You can think about war during the 17th century. You can think about the causation that led from wars in Europe to the Commonwealth. These kinds of capacities for conceiving of the future and the past don't seem to be evident in the universe anywhere except inside human skulls. What I would say is even the ability to imagine another person is a really impressive blend because you have no access to anybody else's mind, but you can project to them some of what you know about your own mind and give them a deep, rich mind that has goals and desires and intentions. And we can do that for each other when we're looking at each other, but we can also do it for people in the future, people in the past. And one of the people most important with whom we blend is our former selves and our future selves. So we can imagine what we might be doing 20 years from now or why we did that thing 30 years ago. It's not just imagining other people and imagining the future and imagining the past. It's imagining a self. Human beings are able to construct a self that stretches across decades. And that really is remarkable.
And crucially in what you're saying there is also our ability not just to have these sophisticated ideas, but to be able to represent them to others and to ourselves.
Indeed, representation is one of the great abilities of human beings. If we look at other species, of course, we see that honeybees do a waggle dance to indicate where the honey might be, and there are various bird calls, and dolphins have signature whistles. All of these things, very important, very impressive, and deeply instinctive. But human beings can take anything in their environment, any kind of mark, any kind of symbol, and blend it with meaning. So writing is really about 3,000 years old. Writing and reading, as we know, it's a few hundred years old. There are plenty of illiterate societies now. No one thinks that this is an instinctive or genetically derived modular ability. On the contrary, it's exploiting our ability to take forms, like something we scratch in the sand, or something we write on a whiteboard, or gestures we make with our hands, to take those forms and blend them with meaning so that we get full representation and equipotential language. It's really remarkable. Think of it. All over the world right now, people are seeing faces in clouds. They're sketching stick figures in the sand. representation is just something human beings do because of this ability for blending. But if you go back 50,000 years, we don't find any examples, for example, of a representation of a face. No petroglyph where somebody took two indentations in a rock and carved a smiley face. We just don't find it. This is something that's often been overlooked, this human ability for representation. It just caught fire somewhere 50, 100,000 years ago, and it changed our entire lives.
And this is Future Tense. I'm Anthony Fennell, and our special feature interview today is with Professor Mark Turner, a leading cognitive scientist from Case Western Reserve University in the United States. Mark Turner, you've written about the concept of the cyclic day as an example where advanced blending not only helps us to imagine abstract thoughts, but crucially to order them, to make sense of them. Can I get you to explain that idea to us?
Yeah, the reason that I put forward examples like the cyclic day is that usually when people hear about blending, they can locate, recognize an example from their own knowledge, but it's often a very exceptional one. Something that someone has done in a painting or in a play or in a film or in an advertisement. But in fact, our claim is that 99.999% of blending is completely everyday. It's in backstage cognition. It's below the horizon of consciousness. You don't notice that you're doing it. I would claim, for example, that your listeners are doing vast amount of extraordinary complicated blending just to understand the sentences that I'm speaking now. You know, it's no performance by Mozart or Keats or Newton. It's everyday blending. This is just what the human brain is built for. Now, the cyclic day is an example of something that looks to us as if it's just given by reality. We didn't have to do any imagining. We didn't have to do any blending. But if you begin to look at it, your experience of a day is first there's a day and then another day and another day and another. It just goes on. And no day repeats. If a day started to repeat, you'd think you'd gone out of your mind. Even in the movie Groundhog Day, where the day starts to repeat, it's not really the same day. It does different things on every day. But you can take all of those days, which have analogy connections across them, and you can compress them into one day. And now you get something new, a day that repeats. Now notice no day repeats, but the cyclic day repeats. It's an idea. So now you've got a compressed, little, tractable thing that's built for human understanding. Something is cyclic. Something's repeating. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. In little bits of time, you're used to things repeating, and you can use that now to grasp vast amounts of time. All days can be projected down into the cyclic day, which repeats, and now you get new structure. You can say things like, morning is coming around again, or here comes evening again, or when evening comes back, we'll be able to do it. And in this blend, you have certain kinds of structure. So you can say things like, it's time for my morning coffee. Now, what's my morning coffee? There's my morning coffee even on mornings when I don't have it. Why? Because there's a slot in my cyclic day for where it goes. Or I can say, this park closes at dusk. And if I do that, you don't say, okay, and what time does it close tomorrow? Because you understand that in the cyclic day, at dusk, maps to every day you can imagine and picks out a different spot in all those days. And you're not deluded. You know they're different spots. You know they're not the same time. You know they're different. But you don't have to hold all of history and all of the future in your mind in order to understand the passage of time. Instead, you can hold the cyclic day. This is really a remarkable example of creativity, but the reason I adduce it is no one looks at it as if it's creative. It doesn't seem to be anything revolutionary in its creativity. But those kinds of things are just the kinds of things that I think makes it possible for human beings with their limited brains, in a way, to grasp ranges of information that they're not really built to grasp absent advanced blending.
So the process of blending ensures that our way of thinking as humans is always dynamic. It's always progressive in that sense. Does it then make us human? Is that what defines us as human?
That's the great question, right? And my usual answer to that is blending didn't so much make us human as give us the great tool to allow ourselves to construct our own humanity. And it's been done in lots of different ways, some of them ignominious, some of them quite noble. Different cultures do it different ways. It gave us the ability to invent in extremely quick cultural time concepts and ideas and to pass them on to others in the great bubble chamber that we call culture. And this, the speed of this creativity, makes evolution, all evolutionary processes, look almost as if they're standing still, sometimes as if they're going backward. We all know that we have some good ideas that are better than those that we might feel deeply from a genetic level. Culture became possible, and cultural speed became possible, and that quickly outstripped any other kind of creativity we had seen theretofore. And it also means that it's always evolving and very different. When it comes to culture, we want to celebrate diversity, but the real question for a species is, why is there any? For human beings, if you go over the hill, you find a different village, they speak a different language, they eat differently, they flirt differently, they date differently. That's not common for other species. We really have an absolute flamethrower of creativity that moves at quick timescales that theretofore had been unimaginable.
And why are we alone in this ability to blend ideas in a complex way? Why just us?
Well, it sounds a little bit triumphal. Oh, what a piece of work is man, how noble in reason, how infinite in faculties. But in fact, remember, advanced blending itself, as I conceive it, is a tiny step. A tiny step along a climb that has been there for a very long time. It's just that sometimes a little extra step changes everything. It's not as if human cognition is everything you had before, attention, perception, memory, and so on, plus a little bit of advanced blending. No, when advanced blending came along, it changed a little bit all of the things that were already in place. Now, it hasn't been here very long. It's only been here, in evolutionary times, a brief while, 50,000, 100,000 years, something like that. So it's only just now, and not so surprising that there would be, you know, just one of us. But there's another really important thing to emphasize, and that is, this is not a triumphal story. Human beings suffer terrifically under the blending abilities that they have. They suffer great guilt for something they did or didn't do 20 years ago. They run out the entire counterfactual life, that life that would have developed if only they could have changed that condition. They get a different blend. And sometimes people are paralyzed by this. Culture has to do an awful lot of work to support people in conducting this blending. And as has often been remarked, it's not entirely clear that this advanced mental ability results in a triumphal story. It might result in a lot of suffering, not only for individuals, but for cultures, and indeed for the species itself.
So it's a blessing and a curse, as one might say. I just wonder, what are the implications, though, of this idea of blending? If it's correct, what are the implications for our understanding of artificial intelligence and how that might develop into the future?
Well, actually, I'm lucky to work with a fair number of roboticists and people in artificial intelligence. To give you an example, if you have an autonomous agent, something on Mars or the dark side of the moon or something clearing a site in a war zone, and it needs to operate on its own, well, if it already has a program, Bob's your uncle, no problem. Or if you can run it by remote control and use a human being, no problem. But what happens if it just doesn't have a program that can deliver a plan for something that it's encountered? Well, we start very simply in this ambition, but the idea is, if we could take different plans that it already has for different contingencies and start to blend them under constraints to come up with a new plan that hasn't been programmed before, but that meets the constraints of the mission, then you might have a smarter autonomous agent. So these are very early days along these lines, but there has been considerable interest in writing programs that would produce programs that were not already in place, but that were imaginative blends, if you will, of resources that the computer already had.
Well, Professor Mark Turner, it's a fascinating theory, and thank you very much for sharing it with us.
Thank you very much for having me, Anthony, and I look forward to future discussions.
a conversation with Vince Gilligan, the creator of the acclaimed TV series Breaking Bad.
I pitched this crazy idea, and they in fact said yes. So they kind of looked kind of wide-eyed, kind of like deer in the headlights as I was pitching it to them. But then we went through the rounds of broadcasters, of networks, and that's when we started to hear a lot of no's.
A chat with the man behind Breaking Bad. Download this Big Ideas program from the RN website.